I want to encourage you today to receive what God wants to speak to you today through a man who serves as an apostolic figure to this church and a prophetic voice to the church at large, and specifically to this church. Pastor Richard Hinojosa is, I believe this with all my heart, this is not lip service. I believe he's one of the most dynamic communicators in the body of Christ anywhere. We're blessed and honored and privileged to be able to have him here with us here today. And he's one of the most anointed prophetic voices, I believe, in the body of Christ today. And I really mean that. And so I want to encourage you to prepare your hearts to receive today what God wants to speak to us, corporately and individually. And Pastor, we honor you, we welcome you, we invite you, we trust you to speak from the heart of the Father today towards us as a church family. Pastor Richard and Sandra care very, very deeply in between the times that we are able to have them here to speak to us as a church family. They check on us. How's the church doing, Thomas? How are you and Amity doing? They care deeply for you and for me. And so beyond just a guest speaker, this is an apostolic figure, a spiritual father to this house. And with that introduction, would you please, come on, let's do our very, very best. Put your hands together. Extend a very warm welcome to Pastor Richard Hinojosa.
Amen. Well, good morning. Everybody doing okay this morning? Man, if you're not, I believe we're going to be. I don't ever go to church and not leave better than when I came in. Even when I'm good, I know my English is not right, but I'm gooder after I leave church, just because I know I've been in the presence of God. I've been in the presence of family and friends. And so God bless you guys. I really do have some prophetic declarations. It's not necessarily a message, but some things as we prayed for you, and I've been praying for a while about this particular weekend and what God would want to do and what he'd have to say. I've lived long enough that I have a lot of messages I could preach, you know, but I'm saying, Lord, what is it that you have to say? Because he knows where you are, he knows who you are, and he knows where he's taking you to. And so that's what I bring today, is I believe something, Pastor Thomas, and you and the elders and the leadership team, y'all weigh, you know, what I bring forth. I always tell people, when someone preaches or someone makes a declaration, a prophetic declaration, does it line up with Scripture? And then you, for yourself, take the Scriptures that you're hearing and the word that you're hearing and bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, is this true? Is this accurate? And how does it apply to me? And so that's what I'm asking you guys to do this morning. And those of you that are watching online, the same way, thanks for connecting with Rev City Church this morning. But, you know, it's interesting. And by the way, man, I love traveling with my wife, Sandra. We love Lawrence, Kansas. We love this church. Always grateful for the opportunity to come and hang out with you. But, you know, when we arrived to the airport this week, when was Thursday evening, we stepped out of the plane. Literally, we stepped out of the plane. It's been a long month. We've traveled a couple different places, and it's just been a busy month for us. So I was a little bit tired. And when we stepped off the plane and into the airport, I really thought I'd booked the wrong flight to the wrong place. I mean, have you ever been driving to a destination and all of a sudden you get somewhere and I said, man, how did I get here? I didn't see this and that, because you're not thinking through, or you're not paying attention, and you're right. Come on, somebody be real with me this morning. You say, man, I don't remember passing the last three stoplights. I hope they were all green. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it's just, well, I had one of those aha moments at the airport, because we stepped off, and this is only the second time it's happened. I stepped off the plane, I had my routines. I'm going to step off the plane. I know this is strange, but immediately I'm going to exit, and if I exit, I can't get back in, and I know where to go pick up the luggage. And so I already knew, I thought, what I was going to experience once I stepped off the plane and onto the terminal. And to my surprise, we stepped in. I thought, honey, are we at the right place? We literally stopped and began to have a conversation. I said, did I book our flights to the wrong city? You know, it's kind of like, because everything was so different. And so I had to stop, literally, and catch my bearings, because all my old landmarks were gone. And so I had to recalibrate. I had to figure out how to get to where I know I'm supposed to go, and I had a plan on how to get there before, but all of a sudden, things were totally new. And I knew then, in that moment, that God had confirmed this word for this church that I believe that's exactly the season that he's preparing you for. Nothing changes and everything changes. And what he did, what happened at the airport was there was an expansion for now, but for the future. And so there's preparations that are going on. And with that in mind, that's a little bit of what I want to talk to you about personally for your own life, for your marriage, for your family, for your children. I was standing there worshiping God, and I found myself praying for my great-grandchildren. I don't have any grandchildren that are old enough to start having babies, I don't think. And they're far, far away from being married. But I caught myself not praying for my children or my grandchildren, but for my great-grandchildren. And that's when God begins to speak to us, not about what just is right now, but about what's coming. And before we enter into those next seasons, there's a season of preparation. In Joshua chapter 3, if some of you are familiar with the story, let me just read a couple of passages of scripture to you, and then I want to declare some things, and then we're just going to ask the Lord to minister to us individually and then corporately. But Joshua chapter 3, they were in a similar season like that. They had left Egypt. They were on their way to Canaan, to the promised land, and God performed a couple of miracles in the process to get there, and he opened the waters at the Red Sea, and now they were before the Jordan, and the promise, the future for God's people was just on the other side of the Jordan. And so just follow with me a little bit here. It says in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1 says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove. He says, and they came to the Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel and lodged there. Everybody say lodged. They lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark, the presence of God going before you, he says, you shall set out from the place and go after it. God's going to lead us by his presence. God's going to lead us by the anointing. God's going to lead us to the new, not in our own strength, but he said he'd go before us. He'll stand behind us. He surrounds us, and he'll be very present with us every single step of the way. And then he says, don't come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. He says, Richard, you've not been to this airport. You've been to the what was. He says, now you're going to have to navigate the what is. Come on, that's good. Somebody write that down somewhere. Somebody type that for me online. Say, we knew what it was to navigate what was. We're having to have to navigate what is. And so he says in verse 5, and Joshua said to the people, he said to the Rev City Church, sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. Prepare yourself is maybe a more common term. He says, prepare yourself for tomorrow, which represents a new day, a new season, the next chapter of the rest of the story in our lives. He says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, to the leaders, saying, take up the ark. And he says, and you go stand, you lead the people, Ref City Church, you lead this community. You stand in the middle of what I'm getting ready to do so the rest of them can come in and step into the same promises that you've stepped into. That speaks to your neighbors, to your family, to your children, to your children's children. And then in verse 14 of Joshua says, so when the people set out from their camp to cross the Jordan, he says, as those who bore the ark of the Jordan, I'm in verse 15, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, he says that the waters came down and they stood still. And the people crossed over to the opposite side by Jericho. Then the priests, he says, stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. And so I'm just going to stop there because several things that I want to leave, that I want to declare for you. In this season when they were having to leave, time when they were leaving one season and entering to the next, and by the way, some of you are leaving a season and entering into a new season. There's nothing wrong with the old season. It's just different, and it's what God is trying to lead his church to. I want you to know that God's still alive, that God still works, that God still moves, that God's Jesus' plan to build the church has not changed. And he says, and unless he builds the church, we labor in vain who do it. God says, I'm not finished with you yet. Look to somebody next. He said, I'm not finished with him yet. I'm not finished with her yet. Say, I'm not finished with Pastor Richard yet. I'm still working on him. He's still a work in progress. We all are a work in progress, but we always takes us through seasons. But several thoughts that I want to leave here with you that I want to declare prophetically is that I believe that what this year that's coming up is a year of preparation to cross over into something that you yet don't know. In your personal life, in your marriage, in your family. You see, we know what we know until God reveals to us what we don't know. And in the process of revealing to us what we don't know, there's a season of lodging. There's a season of preparation. It says they lodged, he says, and then they prepared, and then eventually they set out, but not before preparing, and you can't prepare unless you first lodge. Another better word is they stopped. They stop for a season before they move forward because he said, I know you saw what I did at the Red Sea and I'm getting ready to do it again. He says, and you think you know what it looks like, but this time it's going to look a little bit different. So I want you to just slow down for just a moment so that I can prepare you for the change that you're going to encounter because it's a different land. It's a different people. It's a different territory. Same assignment. He says, but I've got a new strategy for you, and we have to stop long enough to get the strategy, God to download what it is that he's trying to put in us so that we can take the next step. I know that when new season comes around, adjustments need to be made. And God is a God of order. And that's why in this order, and you can see the biblical pattern, he causes people to stop. He causes them to consecrate themselves, to recommit themselves, to receive what we need to be prepared for what we don't know yet. Does that make sense? And the title of my message this morning is, It's Time to Recalibrate. Father God, I thank you that you're not finished with us yet. I thank you that you're working in us, with us, and through us. I thank you, Lord, for this church family, your church that we call Rev City Church. I thank you, Lord, that we are here this morning in your presence and that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And Lord, in the things that we don't understand, oh God, we look to you. But God, would you speak to us by your Spirit and reveal to us, oh God, what it is you're wanting to say. Give us eyes to see what you're doing and give us ears to hear what you're saying in this season of our lives. In Jesus' name, help me preach this message, Lord. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. And God, I stand here and I declare that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you never change. And when we lose our balance, when we lose our focus, when we lose our way, oh God, we turn to look to you again. We set, oh God, as it were, our compass back on you again, oh Lord, as you call us, oh God, to pause. Even right now, for just one moment. And recognize that we're looking to you for the next step, the new season. Help us, I pray, Lord, like you always have, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's time to recalibrate. Pastor Thomas, Amity, Rev City Church leaders, and families, it's time to recalibrate. That's just kind of like to get our bearings again, if that makes sense. To figure out how many stoplights we've run through in this season and realize, man, did we miss this, this, and this? And just to kind of pause for a moment. And then God says, I want you to lodge for just a moment. I want you to recalibrate. I looked up the dictionary for that word recalibrate. And by the way, lodging was not supposed to be permanent. Because what happens is when we lodge somewhere before we cross over into the new is that we can get comfortable with the old. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I'm in a season of succession at our church, and we've been in that for 5 years, the last 2 years more specifically. And my son, Richard Hinojosa Jr., we call him Rick, he's going to be the next senior pastor at Good Shepherd Community Church. And he's already operating that way. In January, he'll officially do the week to week, and he'll be doing most of the preaching. And I'm backing up a little bit, not a little bit, a lot of bit. And he's taking the main role of leading the church and leading the team and preaching. So I'm in a new season. So I may just be preaching this message to myself this morning, Pastor Thomas. But I believe it's a season that many people are going through also. And when you start stepping into the unfamiliar, it can get a little anxious. It can be a little disturbing. It can make you think and wonder, is this really God? Are you really doing this? It can cause, because the enemy will bring confusion to us as you're going into the next phase, the next season of your personal lives, the life of the church, the impact of the city and the region and in the world. And so we have to lodge for a moment. But what happens many times is that we lodge, and the lodging is so comfortable that we don't recognize when it's time to set out and cross over into the new. And so I'm battling that. I got so comfortable in my routines, just like when I got to the airport. And when you're if you're feeling a little bit off, or if you're feeling a little bit, there's a shaking, some things that you don't understand. Is it possible that there's not something wrong with you, but that God is just preparing you for the next step? It's time to recalibrate. Listen to what this means here, real quickly, and then I'm going to minister to you here in just a little bit. But it says that word recalibrate. I think this is real important. It means to adjust precisely for a particular function. We're supposed to be adjusting precisely for a particular function. I tell our people, I said, God does things on purpose for a purpose, but we have to stop long enough to figure out what that is. Especially when we don't feel like things are going our way, or especially when we just feel a little off. Anybody ever feel a little bit off sometimes? I mean, I know we're in church, so I'm not going to lie. I feel off. I just feel off. But so I have to stop to adjust precisely for the specific particular function that God is calling me to. That word adjust means to adopt or to conform oneself. That we're in a constant state of change. That we have to stop long enough to say, my best planning and what I'm doing has got me where I am in my personal life, in my marriage, in my family, in my church, in my city. And so I have to make some precise adjustments, because God has something very specific that he wants to do in my life. It means to adapt or conform oneself as to new conditions, adjust to new regulations. And it also comes with the idea of adjusting our eyes gradually from when you enter into from light into darkness, or from darkness into light. Like when you get up at night, and when you first get up and it's really dark and you can't really see, but there's a precise adjustment that happens in our vision so that we can navigate even in dark times. So there's a recalibration that's going on. It also means, that word recalibrate means to achieve mental and behavioral balance between one's own needs and the demands of others. And I find that it's really, really interesting, because there's three areas that I believe God wants us to recalibrate in personally and corporately as a church. The first one, it says here, according to definition, mentally. We have to change our mindset. We have to quit being so negative and looking for those things that don't make sense, or that we don't like, because a lot of the battles that we fight are in our minds and what we think, and what we think versus what God thinks, and what we're looking for versus for what God is looking for and where God is leading us to. And so there's a mindset that needs to change, because lodging creates a certain mindset. Being busy creates a certain mindset. Are you all with me this morning? You operate in a certain way where I've heard people say, man, I'm blessed to be stressed. Well, man, I don't see that anywhere in the scripture. I understand the idea behind that, but it's kind of saying, I'm just glad that I'm busy enough that I'm so stressed. I don't have time to lodge. I don't know where I'm going, but man, I'm blessed to be stressed. Well, that's not orderly according to God's word. It's a place of we're busy. So we have to stop long enough to make sure that in our busyness, we're not going in the wrong direction and land at the wrong airport. Does that make sense? And so sometimes we just have to slow down long enough in the midst of our busy. And I know your life is really, really, really busy. I know you're really, really, really busy, but God has a destination that he's taking you to. But we have to adjust our mindset in regards to, okay, Lord, I know that your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I know that by the reading of the word, our mind is renewed. So there is a renewing, not that there's anything wrong with the old, but to get to where you've asked the Lord to get you to, there's going to be a recalibration, and it's going to come in how you see things and in your mind how you think about those things, because the first recalibration has to come in how we think and bring our thinking into agreement into God's word. Listen to what he says here in Philippians chapter 2. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he became obedient to the point of death. And sometimes entering into the new feels like, I'm not going to make it, man. This is killing me. And I'm coming back to you, ma'am. It ain't going to kill you. It's going to make you stronger. Okay? I mean, that's what we think. Man, you're killing me, Lord. He says, yes, but only so that I can lead you into the new that I have. Because in order to enter the new, I have to die. I have to be willing to go, let go, Pastor Eddie, of some old mindsets so that God will renew my mind and prepare me to think in a way that's going to lead me to the new that he has for me. So first of all, there's a recalibration in our mind, and then there's a recalibration behaviorally, how we act, how we as believers show ourselves to our families and our people in the workplace, in our community. It says, to him who knows to do good, James 4:17 says, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So there's a recalibration on our behavior. How many of you have to recalibrate your children's behavior from time to time? Man, let me see your hands, really. I just want to, man, you're good parents. That's good. That's a good parent. How many of you know that God's a good father? And every now and then he comes and he kind of recalibrates our behavior. And not just our bad behavior, but he says, and if you know to do good and you don't do it, then he says, and to you it's sin. And God has deposited some good things in you, and he's wanting to say, listen, I want you to take that good that I've put in you, and I want you to use that for the good of others. But our mind says there's not a whole lot of good here, but the Lord says, man, you have seen, eye has not seen, and eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you. And there's some things that God is leading you to in this season. And when you do good things, a lot of times I feel like unnoticed, unrecognized, people don't even know the goodness that's in your heart. Sometimes you don't even know the goodness that's in your heart. And the reason why it's there is because God's put it there. And yes, it's for you, but it's for some things that he's going to lead you to in this next season of your life. But you have to recalibrate. You have to recalibrate what we do, how we do it. Our behavior needs to change. Don't look at your husband or your wife. Honey, you're not looking at me this morning, are you? Sometimes we just have to allow God to recalibrate, but we can't recalibrate unless we stop for a moment and we lodge in a place where we can hear what the Lord is saying. So we have to recalibrate physically, mentally, we have to recalibrate behaviorally, and we have to recalibrate our vision. We have to make room for the adjustment to clear, for our eyes, our focus to be in the right place. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and you know the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to look to him in this season. Listen, the Israelites stopped before crossing the Jordan to recalibrate. They had already experienced the miraculous. Listen, this church has experienced some miraculous things from its founding, its beginning, into this season. God has opened waters. God has made a way where there seems to be no way. God has done things. God is growing his church. God is growing, and the church is not a building, it's people. And so that we've seen God do miraculous things. I've seen God do miraculous things in this church and through this church. And I've read the history, and I understand, and I've talked about the history of the church, and God hasn't changed his mind about what he wants to do with you, in you, with you, and then through you. But we have to adjust. We have to get our eyes off of whatever it is that's got us distracted and put our eyes back on Jesus. And that's not just a Christian cliche. It's an intentional, internal a place where I'm saying, Lord, I'm not sure, oh God. I'm not sure where I am in this season, but you're sure. You're sure. I know, I am confident that you know where I am. You know exactly where I am, and you know exactly why I'm where I am. And sometimes when we go through what feels to us like loss, is actually gain. And so God is taking what appeared to be loss in your life. And I'm talking to you, ma'am. You can write it down. What appears to be loss in our life, but it's going to be for gain. The scripture says that sorrow endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And in the between times can be a question. And I it's like I'm saying, Lord, if you would just show me, if you would just tell me, if you would just lead me there, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He says, well, if you'll just lodge for a moment, he says, I've got some things that I want to change the way you're seeing things and what you thought, because you thought 1 + 1 = 2. But 1 + 1 in this season is going to equal 100. And so I see just a supernatural provision coming to your life to get you from where you've been to where you're going and to recover whatever losses you've experienced in this last season of your life. See, God comes to cause us to pause long enough to lodge before he takes us into the next season of our lives. He adjusts my mind, my actions, and my ability to turn back to him and see him like he truly is. Amen? And Pastor Thomas stuff, that's the place that's going to allow you to take the next step. And that's what's going to allow you individually to take the next step in whatever season of your life that you're in. God's a God of order, and he has a plan. And I believe he's asking us to lodge for just a moment. Now, how long is that? Well, man, God, I mean, it personally, sometimes it can be a short season. Sometimes it can be a longer season. But there's got to be an intentional heart that says, I'm going to stop long enough to hear what the Lord has to say and make sure I book the right flight to the right city to accomplish my assignment. But we can get so busy with life that we miss the assignments that God has for us. Jeremiah 6:16 says it this way. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stop. Everybody say stop. He says, stop at the crossroads and look around. It's like a four-way stop, an intersection. And I believe the church is at an intersection, Pastor Thomas. Intersections are not bad. They're not slowing you down. There's a purpose for intersections. It's kind of like climbing a flight of stairs. And you climb up one stair, and then there's kind of like a landing. And if you get, as you're getting older like I am, every now and then I just don't skip the landing and go to the next flight of stairs. I kind of catch my breath a little bit in that flight of stairs so I can go to the next level and go to the next level. And so stopping is not a bad thing, but our culture has told us that stopping is bad. Man, you all are quiet this morning. He says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Then he says this, ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Everything changes in seasons, but God's word and God's ways never changes. So we look not for the old traditions. We don't look for the old, how we used to do things. We look for the old way, his word, his values, his purpose, his call, his mission. We come to church to be fed so that we can be feeders. We come to church to be taught so that we can be teachers. We come to church to be encouraged so we can be encouragers. We come to church to receive hope so we can hand out hope to our children and our children's children and our schools and our community. So there's a place where we stop and then we ask for God's ways, God's standards, God's values. That's the place of, he says, and consecrate yourself before you step into the next season. You see, we want to have a better marriage, but we don't want to stop and make adjustments. Not you guys, those people in those other churches around here this morning. I want to be a better individual, but I don't want to stop long enough for God to adjust my mindset on my behavior. I want to make sure I get to my next destination, that my next step. Listen, there's a lot of you here that are asking God for the next step about something in your life. Let me see your hands. Those of you saying, I've just said, Lord, I just need you to, yeah, I know I'm at the right church now. Asking for the next step. And it's kind of like you can't see clear enough to get there. You think. And I had this prophetic word for a young girl. I don't see her this morning. Are you here, young lady? Right at the end of the meeting last night, I was stepping up. I believe this is a very personal word for her, but I felt like the Lord said, some of you are like, you've been wearing contact lenses and you've been seeing fine, but you've lost a contact lens, and so now your vision is blurry, and so you're not quite sure. And the lack of your ability to see clearly is causing you to wonder and fret about the next step. And you think you've lost your contact lens, but you haven't lost your contact lens. God said, I've got it right here. He says, and I'm cleaning it up and clearing it up so you can clearly see the next step that I prepared for you. So don't get confused about, I'm not hearing the next step. Are you pausing long enough to really hear what the Lord has to say? It says, stop at the crossroads, look around, ask for the old godly way. Who are you asking? Where are you getting your counsel from? What social media outlet are you listening? You know that not everything that gets posted on social media is true, right? I know y'all know that. I mean, I know that. It's not gospel. Even when they say it's gospel, it's not gospel. The gospel is the gospel. Okay, and so he says, look around and ask for the old godly way. And what better person to ask for the old godly way than God himself? So we need to get into his word. We need to spend time with him. We want him to fix everything immediately and kind of bring a word and say something that will fix and change anything. And he says, I've given you my word, and if you get into it, I'll give you old godly counsel. And then he says, and walk in it, travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. But, is that scripture up there by any chance? Okay, I don't know if I'm putting it. He says, but you reply, no, it's not the road I want. And man, when I read that, man, it just pierced my heart. It's like God says, I'm trying to get you somewhere. The moment you ask me for that, and you petition that in prayer, he says, I'm on it. But you're looking for counsel here, there, and everywhere, and you're looking to your buddies for their opinion. He says, and you've asked for counsel everywhere else, but you've not sought my counsel. And because of that, you feel a little bit confused or a little bit off. I don't know who this young man is over here, but I saw you when I walked in this morning. There's godly counsel in the path that God's not forgotten about you. God knows exactly where you were. God knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly where he's taking you to. But there's so much, you're overthinking the decision, and so you feel paralyzed and stuck in the next step, and you wonder if you're going to get there, and God just wants you to pause in your thinking. It's kind of like I see you at night, and you're just processing and thinking and processing and thinking, and it's almost like, man, I just need to hear clearly something. Lord, would you say something to me? And everybody else is giving you counsel, but God says the word that you need, he says, I have. He says, and as you stop long enough and pause long enough and look for the godly ways, he says, I'm going to lead you in a path, and it's going to bring rest to your soul. I pray against all anxiety, fear of failure in the future. I pray about taking a misstep or going in the wrong direction. I break that lie of the enemy that says you're not going to get there, that you're not going to make it, that somehow because of the life that has been dealt to you, the cards that have been dealt to you, are not going to allow you to achieve that dream. But I'm here to tell you today that if you stop and you ask, and you walk in what God's getting ready to reveal to you in a very personal way, you're going to find rest for your soul. I speak peace to you, God's peace to your life, clarity of thought, clarity of thinking, adjustment in your walk, and you're going to make it. God says you're going to make it. Amen? So he says, stand, ask for the old godly ways, walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. And so that's the kind of season that we're walking into that God is calling us to. He says, you've never been this way before, and so you're a little bit scared, and you're unsure, and you don't know if your footing's correct. And we've stopped long enough or gotten comfortable. I love what Pastor Thomas said. Yes, I'm content, but I'm not complacent. And sometimes lodging and stopping, especially when you've been through a rough season, and all of a sudden you find water and bread and comfort and hope, but you're not fulfilled, is because you've settled for less than what God has for you, but you can't even imagine it in your mind. That's why we have to recalibrate our thinking. Now, I want to give you an acronym for that word stand, and I'm gonna wrap up this service here pretty quickly, and we're going to pray for you. I want to pray for you. It says, when he says, stand at the crossroads, and look, let me show you this, if you can put that up there for me. When the Lord tells us to stand, it's not just being without energy. Did I get you guys that, Thomas? I may not have. Okay. It says, this is after he says that, so the acronym for the word stand, S, see the truth. When we pause, we have to see the truth. We can't be in denial about where we are, what's going on in our own lives. We have to see the truth about ourselves, and then we have to know the truth about him. So we have to see the truth. T, we have to take some risks. We have to anchor ourselves to God is the letter A. We have to never let fear determine our next step, and we have to decide to obey God no matter what. S-T-A-N-D, see the truth, take some risk, anchor yourself to God, never let fear determine your next step, and determine to obey God no matter what, no matter what it costs you, no matter what it feels like. The hardest thing for people that are wired like me is to stop. I don't know how to stop long enough to be redirected and receive that recalibration that God has for us. God says, consecrate yourself. Allow recalibration to come into your life. Pastor Thomas, I believe there's a pause. The Lord has done miraculous things, and then you got to that level on the steps where you just kind of say, well, I got to keep going up, and you're going to keep going up, but there's a place of lodging for just a moment. I don't know the time frame of it, but the lodging is not, we're not making progress. It's that we're preparing to take a giant leap. And this next year is like the junior year of high school where I'm preparing myself. I remember for graduating 1 year later, there's a graduation that's coming. There's a graduation that's coming to the church. There's a graduation that's coming for this fellowship. But there's got to be like a junior year where we may not feel like we're getting to where we want to get to quickly or as fast as we want to. But there's a season of lodging, of preparation, so that when we do step out into that next season, then everything will be in place. There's an order that's coming. God is reordering things. God is restructuring things. God is shifting, and there's always a shifting before there's a sifting, and the enemy comes to try to sift vision. He tries to take your vision. He tries to get you so fatigued that you lose sight of the fact that the God that got you from point A to point B is the God that's going to get you from point B to point C. But there's got to be a place of just lodging. And in our lodging, don't get so comfortable that at the right time, when you see the presence of God leading, that you don't step out. And then he says, and then you've got to stand in the middle of it. We've got to stay. He says they were one step away from watching God take them into the promise, but there was a fear of the unknown. There was a fear of how do I get there? There's a fear of what if I lose all that I have already? What if we lose everything that God has already trusted us with? What if we go backwards instead of going forwards? It's a true fear. It's a true concern, but it does not come from God, because his word says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind or safe thinking. And so, but at some point, your F City Church, you're going to have to be the church. You'll be the one of the churches. You got to stand in the middle of the Jordan. You got to stand in the middle between what was and what we've known into the unknown. And it might be unfamiliar, and you might lose some landmarks, some things that you used to gauge yourself by as you're going forward. But God has not purchased the wrong ticket for you. He's not sent you to the wrong city or the wrong airport. He knows exactly where you are, but he's just wanting to recalibrate some things so we can take the next step in this season of our lives. Prepare now for what's coming. Receive the next strategy, the game plan, and prepare to execute it. God's not finished with you guys yet. God's not finished in your life. God's not finished in your marriage. God's not finished with your children. God's not finished. By the way, some of you are just starting. God, this is just starting. Well, I don't even know if I believe all of this stuff. Well, you will one day. You'll look back and you realize in those difficult times, listen, when I felt alone, like I said last night, but you're not alone. and you wondered if anybody understood. God understands. There's just a shifting. There's a change that's going on, and you're feeling the resistance because God's trying to take you to progress, and the enemy's trying to hold you back. So God says, if you'll just lend yourself to what he's doing in your life, you don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. You may have a different opinion. By the way, last time I checked with the Bible, my opinion's not in it. I don't understand it, but it's just not in it. But he cares. And he leads us through our questions and through our challenges. He leads us, but he's trying to get us to a destination. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And stop long enough in the midst of your anxiety, in the midst of your anger, in the midst of your fears. Stop long enough and allow God to recalibrate your thoughts, your behavior, and your vision. God's just not finished building you yet. He's not finished building me yet. He's not finished building this church yet. He's not finished building the kingdom. In Isaiah 52, before you step out for just a moment, Isaiah 52, number 52, could you, somebody, can I just... I saw you say, don't leave just yet, because I looked over there earlier, and I want you to read Isaiah chapter 52. It just popped up at me. And he says, awake, awake, and put on your strength. Shake off the dust, and keep moving forward. You read that passage of scripture, God is awakening some things in your life, and he's dusting the shelf off some things that have been put on the shelf, because he's going to use that and you for this next season in your life. So shake it off, put on his strength, shake and wake up. It's not a time to be asleep. I know you weren't going to go take a nap. I know you said this, but I just wanted to catch you before you left. God bless you. God bless you. And this is what I saw, and I close with this. I hope that was okay. I didn't mean to be rude. I just didn't want to miss something that I felt God had showed me. God is good. I think I'm done preaching. I'm never done preaching, but I'm stopping preaching. I saw Pastor Thomas a banner while I was praying for the church, and I want to do some personal ministry. And man, God doesn't ever make mistakes. Don't let me forget, I got to go back to the banner I saw, but God doesn't make mistakes. Quit looking back and thinking, well, what if this has happened instead of that, or what if I was at this place instead of that place at that time, and the enemy's getting you guys to look back, and sometimes there's comfort in looking back, but because it's better to see something that you knew happen versus being led to something that you have no idea that you're really being led to. And so God says, quit looking back, quit rehashing that, and put your eyes on that God has before you. And he's not finished. And by the way, quit being so hard on yourselves. God understands our humanity. He doesn't expect you to be divine. He doesn't expect you to be perfect in any area of your life. He understands our humanity. So you deal with the humanity, and when your humanity seems to not be enough, because God is taking you to a new place, man, it's going to get gooder and gooder. That's what I feel the Lord's wanting me to tell you. He's going to get gooder and gooder. But not if you keep looking back. You got to look forward. And if you'll give yourself a break for your humanity, then what's going to make this change in your life is his divinity. We give him our humanity, and he gives us his divinity, and that's how we make it to the next step and the next season. And that's how we don't look back anymore, but we look forward. Amen. So, hey, God's got you. Keep stepping, keep stepping, keep stepping. How are you, young man? What is your name?
Clement.
Clement. Man, I love that name. I know a Clement in Spanish is Clemente. And I worked with a guy whose name was Clement, but in Spanish. He was a Spanish version of you. But this is what I want you to know. You are one of a kind. You have been set apart. That's why your journey has been difficult. That's why your journey has been different. That's why a lot of times people don't understand. They see what's outside, but they don't see what's inside. And what's inside has been fashioned and shaped for God for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. And in this season of your life, God said, tell him that I'm going to take what appears to be less and do more with it. And you have come to the Lord not for any other reason other than that you are looking. He says, I saw him looking after a true relationship. I feel and sense the disappointments of past relationships and other people that you've counted on that maybe didn't come through for you. But God says, I'm not that person. He says, I'm going to come through for you and you can count on me. So you trust him. And what appears to be not enough, God said, I'm going to make more than enough in this season of your life. By the way, can I just tell you something out of my own heart? I'm not saying this to say the Lord or anything. I'm proud of you. I have this sense of pride and just... like a father over a son that says, I know, son, I know what you're having to navigate here, and I know what you're having to go through here. And I said, but you've not quit. And sometimes when you thought you couldn't take one more step and wanted to go back, God had kept you. And because he's kept you, because, and like I said, he's kept you on purpose for a purpose. But I just want you to know that I'm proud of you. Clement, would you stand to your feet for just a moment? Would you allow me to just, would you all just act like it's, you know, just, I don't know where you're from or what you do or where you're doing here, but can I just hug you? I feel like God the Father said, I want you to give him a daddy hug, because that's how I see him. He says, and I want to give him a daddy hug. So if you man enough, I'm going to hug you. You man enough for a hug? Come on, man. He's not finished with you yet. He's got a plan for your life. I'm proud of you. Okay? I got to stop or I won't stop. But I saw this, and we're going to go into, but I saw this in my walking time, Pastor Thomas, as I was preparing and praying for you guys. I saw a banner over this church. It's just, you know, I had this impression of a banner over the church. And what I saw over the church was a banner that said, God is mighty to save. And I stopped for a moment and I said, Lord, what does that mean? And he says, I'm able to save the people in Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas, and the world. And from this church, there will be a banner and a flag that God is preparing you to carry to the city, to the region, to the nations, that declares a message of God is mighty to save. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? He saves individuals. He saves people out of addictions. He saves marriages. He rescues children. He comes in the middle of chaos and he brings order. But God wants you to know that there is an anointing and there is a presence and a banner over this church and this fellowship where people will know that God is mighty to save, not just because we declare it, but because he's declared it and he's getting ready. And I think that's part of the preparation. Get ready for harvest. Get ready for harvest here and in the region and in the nations. That part, God will reveal the strategy, because anytime he gives you a new assignment, he'll release new strategy. But we have to stop and lodge to receive the new strategy. And we're going to begin to continue to see from the beginnings of this church. I believe that banner's been there forever, but I saw it highlight. It's kind of like what was written is now illuminated, and it says God is mighty to save. Amen. Come on, can we thank God for that? Can we thank God for that? Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to ask you to stand to your feet for just a moment. Because there it is. My wife's telling me I've preached too long. I'm kidding, baby. I put a timer on myself because I ain't got nowhere to go and I'll keep you here all day. And then I heard this song, Pastor Thomas, and I asked the team if they would do it. I want you to know that Jesus is a God of this city. He's a God of this people, this community, this region, of the nations. And he wanted me to declare that greater things are still to come. For you, for your family, for your church, for your city, for this nation that's in chaos, he brings order and he calls a people to be a light in the midst of darkness. So if you would, I'm not going to sing this song because then the service will definitely be over. But I want us to declare this over this church because God himself has said, I'm going to show myself mighty to save. Personally, corporately, nationally, and internationally. Can we make this confession? Can we agree with him to tell him he's still the God of my life and of my church and of my city? Come on, help me. Help me, Adrian, or whoever's leading. Yes. Come on, if you believe that, join with us this morning. New season. A season of lodging and preparation. To watch God do what only he can do in our lives, in our marriages, in our families.
Greater things are yet to come.
How many believe that greater things are still to come for you and your family, and your church, and your city?
Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done.
That greater things are still to come. You've been good. You provided supernatural, God. You've built our lives, oh God. You're building your church. I just want to declare that, oh God. Greater things are still to come. Greater things are still to come. In my life. In my life. I want to come back to the fields now. Yeah. I don't know. This is what, last thing I'm going to say, Pastor Thompson, I ask you to come up. I wrote, after I saw that large banner over this church that declared God is mighty to save, and he said, tell them it's time to surrender again. Whatever has been, he says, and I'm taking them to the new, but in that place of lodging is a time of surrender. My wants, my wills, my preferences, and turn, Lord, not my way, but your way, not my will, but your will. Not, it's just a place of surrender. And he said, tell them I can still move mountains. Tell them I'm still in the fire. Tell them I'm still in the lion's den and that I still walk on water. Tell them that I still roll away stones. Tell them that I still part the waters and I make a way where there seems to be no way. That's what a God who is mighty to save can do, will do, and continue to do. And he's never failed you yet, and he won't fail you now. Amen. Come on, let's sing that one more time as Pastor Thomas comes up.